I said I could mess with the mic because I'm the shortest person in this program. So, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Many of you know Alice. She maestroed this very same reading series, and she graduated from our MFA program only 2 years ago. But she has already made quite a name for herself as a poet, a fiction writer, and a critic. Her thesis, Black Hole, is poetry, but she is also gaining ground for her essays on everything from the Beach Boys to Isaac Mizrahi. I've learned a lot from Alice about politics, Twitter, the West, Pretty Little Liars, and most importantly, about writing. Last year, after seeing Martha Marcy May Marlene, a movie I think we both found compelling and disturbing, Alice wrote an essay about it. She told me she wanted to send it to this art and culture website she really liked, but she wasn't sure they'd take it, and I told her to go for it. Well, now she is a senior contributor to this recording, that very website, and I'd just like to say you're welcome. No, if you've followed Alice's articles, you've gotten to read about how bad movies can really be good, about loneliness and Didion, Sontag, Dickens, and Muriel Sparks, as well as The Bachelor, and how fifth grade can really kill you. This was all Alice's doing, of course, as were her essays on Elizabeth Bishop and Dick Hugo in the Paris Review Daily. Her prose is as crystalline as her poetry, and in both, her ideas punch a hole in our consciousness. Her writing has a talent to emotionally impact and explicate, something that is special and not easy to do. I envy this as much as I envy her pink car, which you may understand if you're a Springsteen fan. Pink Cadillac is quite a lot. Alice's poetry and other writing has also appeared or is forthcoming in Ninth Letter, Quarterly West, Field, Bat City Review, Blackbird, and the Hayden's Ferry Review, among others. I'm so lucky to call Alice a friend, and we are certainly lucky to have her on this stage again tonight. So please welcome Alice Bolin.
Hi.
I don't know.
Is that okay? Can you hear me? Can you see me? Okay. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you, Zoe, so much. That was beautiful, and I'm so lucky that you're my friend, and thank you so much for introducing me. Thank you to BJ and Beth. I really don't, not qualified for this gig, but super happy to do it. With Andrew, it feel like just feels too lucky and serendipitous that it was with one of my best pals and favorite writers, Andrew Martin. So thank you guys for that, and thank you, Andrew, for reading with me. That was awesome. Thank you to the Top Hat. This is such a great venue. I don't know, thanks to the MFA program, you know, whatever. I don't think I have anybody else to thank. So I'm just reading poems tonight, but I do write other things. That's all I have to say, I guess. Watercolor kit. The landmarks are just as premeditated in person. I collect as evidence the clavicle bones of our inert museums, the broad park I meet my little sister down, one toothless lunch hour like the soft, unfinished insides of her backpack. She is knee-sick and fawning on her felt-tipped prize for exceeding her bones in the sprinting test. The children laughed how her torso clatters like a chain-link fence, red sugar from the jawbreaker ringing their lips like aurora. Now they shake their names from the vending machine, rueful. The museum is taut and hollowed as a gourd inside, a cavity of vaulted air, and girls go out in the predatory air seeking to communicate nothing with freckled cheekbones, the kink of a young ankle in a roller skate, to no avail. Wet medicine blue on the map was living once. I tell you, neither the school nor the avenue, the ocean with its annotated coasts, the highway emptying numbers in the ocean. For the park scene, the barest of all colors, the jawbreaker's pastel strata, slight green of the green space, little sister's white blonde roller skates, the sky alights tender as a coffee cup. So yesterday I was actually Andrew and his family's waitress at the Catalyst. And I had a dream last night that I was trying to give my reading in the Catalyst. And my boss kept being like, oh, take two waters to table four. You know, like, it was scary, a nightmare. So this poem, I guess, has to do with that. It's called Abba, You Exist. I glide table waiting across the carpet with the eggs in my left hands. Something about food service appeals to my perversest desire. This year, reality stretched to a level plane, a game board, where we move crazily from birth to the bowling alley, the names we use at the bowling alley. Eating ketchup and my swelling fingers stray always a little towards the left. The slow journey down the greased blonde floor, I am good for maybe two pins, maybe one. This is fear in the pretend city. And my fracture, broom, memories, short nights, Gatorade, radio, are affirmation. I hear my little brother singing Super Trooper in the depths of my workday dehydration. I exist, I exist, I exist, I exist, I exist, I exist in a way, I exist. This is a poem called Shirt. It's true I'm spatial. A corpus is exclusively a soft and vibrant expanse, a dog body that drags like a crayon. The hurt is facing completely forward, calling it sex, seeing the you-know-what move in the mirror. I'm not that interested in your quirky versions of desire. I want an armpit understood gradually, like a story. A physical insight when you talk nonsense in the voice of conversation, when you say exactly the opposite of what you mean, but I look to make a place on this paper where I could write something obvious. I regret it. A pollinated valley like a hole in the sky, a man's name and a man shape, a t-shirt without the man shape inside it, a sound unhooking itself as the valley stretches it into echo, or a thing to be blushed about, a hand disappearing beneath me, red underwear cut from construction paper. So it's true that I used to coordinate this reading series, lo these 2 years ago. And this next poem I wrote after A Second Wind, the details of which I am not at liberty to discuss. Stages. I traced a facsimile on a sheet of graph paper. The boreal forest. A field loud with colorless birds. Delirious as a midnight locomotive, mood ring, you should be afraid of me. Faithfully, faithfully, I have fed on regrets and reddened sentiments, a season like the strain of a canary in the apartment next door. What regrets? A sense of the public contracting like a woman's chest. My most brutal loneliness, those fields ripping by the covered wagon. Last night under the stage lights, I was taken by bare resignation, a new fault line craning inside me. To keep from crying, I considered you a frontier, a fallowed wing. I bit my lip into a talisman. This is a poem called Blues. train fills our horizon. Boxcars fan out into embrace, a wide order, a moving west. To make no attempt at an index, wrong girl, wrong summer, wrong car. We chased us from this coast and the radio mildewed, tin songs palpable as maps. How do you like that? To search the interstate and find everything fugitive? Touch the radio dial light like a Ouija board, and we give it our wishes. Is it normal in these mountains to see a wild turkey? Is it normal to wear a dress that describes your skin? Meanwhile, we spend daylight avoiding neighbors, making simple escapes, and we love what doesn't make us feel stupid. Don't worry, dear, a ballad is just a slow song. We wait hours humming at a railroad crossing. Good thing a summer swells, then shortens. Continents, drugstore breakfasts, our names and nightly bodies. In my mind, it's already over. This is a poem about my favorite movie. Clueless, Insidious. Where I live, it is often impossible to turn left. I have developed certain strategies when leaving my apartment complex to do things the slower and easier way, to go south by going north, and still, I fuck other motorists over flamboyantly. In fact, my car is pink and conspicuous. It is warmish mountain June. The floors are lined with trash. My windows don't roll up, and I have a headlight out. So we try to take back streets across the river. No one has ever been called a superficial space cadet in this car, and I'm about to change all that. No one has ever been called selfish, not to their face, in this car. Videos burnt into my sight. I get home from work, I close my eyes and see a hand setting infinite waters on a restaurant table. Or rolling the silverware, my mind loops scenes from the movie. Almost any word can trigger it. Travesty, technical, muscles, sporadic, coke, drive. I just don't want to get pulled over. Does my goodwill count for nothing that I fully intend to break for animals, that I didn't skin a collie to make my backpack? A cop comes the other way on the bridge, but there's not much he can do about my headlight now. It's later somehow than it should be, at night and into the summer. I see former stoplights with perfect clarity. When we were talking about the band, the movie, the actor's face, previously agreed on, it's all good, so good that its goodness is neutral. But getting off the freeway makes you realize how important love is. Rewinding every friendship, every June of my whole life, this movie might be my favorite, if I can have a favorite. I think I've written two poems in my life with the word fuck in them. And I'm going to be reading both of them tonight. Andrew's mom and sister, I am sorry. This poem is about Montana. A lot of my poems are. I think I just want to take a moment for a public service announcement where I say that we're all really extraordinarily lucky to be here with our friends in Montana. I think I had something more like eloquent to say about that, but maybe not. Maybe it will be in the poem. I like things I can understand. In which I grieve the summer, the hour when I feel myself my only friend. We drove back from the swimming hole close enough to the wildfire to see its red, those cars pulled from the interstate, a gawk. And yesterday, a troubled plume behind the mountain, thunderhead or growth of smoke. I know I'm failing in some ways, covered in particles of splendid air, left by no means without storm or time. But how to shake the guilt of the avenues, the osprey, to eat a nectarine in an inner tube, the gold sun on gold, the way you live in friendship as a satellite to yourself? To do, to tiptoe around. A fuck, a game of hypotheticals, the brilliant scent of smoke and rain. When I walked outside this morning, I don't want anyone to be jealous. If you can't think of something, just say what really happened. I was up all night sweating from sunburn and future disappointment. This thing is a letter to what I want and can't get at. I will make a poem out of your body. I mean, take. Sure, it's a surge, a nice upswing, how the universe draws to a point of beauty here, where smoke heaves the sky and helicopters bring water from the river. But there are always fissures, casements open to the wet night. The magazine can't bear the white stress of its binding. At the swimming hole, we walk into the water to seal ourselves in a little cave, a mountain's mouth of stone. Some of you know that that's a true story. So this last poem that I'm going to read is kind of weird. So I wrote it when I was like 18 or 19. It's a long poem. It has sort of a silly title. It's called Imagining the Death and Funeral of a High School Friend. But it's not funny, so don't be thinking that. But I was, I wrote it when I was in college, and I was in Nebraska, and I was really kind of obsessed with where I grew up in Idaho, and I really missed it a lot and missed being in the Northwest. There's lots of things in it that are kind of reminiscent to me of what it's like to live in the Northwest and the mountains. And I don't know, I was looking at it the other day and I was like, this is kind of a cool poem and I can do whatever I want. So I decided to read it. So this is Imagining the Death and Funeral of a High School Friend. As all of my epigraphs that have ever existed, this one is from Lycidas by John Milton. Weep no more, woeful shepherds, weep no more. For Lycidas, your sorrow is not dead, sunk though he be beneath the watery floor. So sinks the day star in the ocean bed. It's in parts that have names. Wake. When you die, I will smash the beer bottles, grinding glass in the earth behind your shed. I bite down hard, splintering my teeth into jagged shafts of sunlight as I crouch in the straw, my fingernails filled with blood from my scalp. I don't regret this pain. I will stuff it in my mouth with grass and sticks, the wet pulp of crab apples. I loved you. My grief reflects the ebbing bean fields of our home. In Idaho, the hills are densely drawn, creeping fossil bed of an ice age lake. Soft focus on the stumbling buttes, lost child rolling through the rape fields. Her absence pulses like tidal waves from my teeth. I miss her, the inky diamond soil and your blood beneath my tongue. High school. In dreams, you are a summer steam flickering from my eyes. Reflected in my irises, your sister's lips, raw and peeling, braces scraped around the words, she almost died. Strapped to a gurney, spitting and jerking, did your body attempt to shake the foreign blood or buzz with the wrong drug's electricity? I can't ask as I peel her golden shoulders, knees knocked on cracking library steps, not now or ever. She traces hollow comfort, your forgiveness, the yellow blood crusting her lips. I think you were the same then, wearing your death like a pinky ring. Death. When you die, it will be later, it will be now, and you will fly from your car, thrown over a cliff, and your stone skull will mingle with glossed ocean rocks in Oregon. Thin ribbons will stream from behind your ears, brick red to nourish the fishes. They will find you an hour later, eyes closed and head resting aside your shoulder, green glue parting your lips. You know I'm sorry for this, the price I pay for laying pen to paper and seeing your face, heart-shaped and hanging, smiling with cobalt eyes squinted shut, the tiny mole on your cheek so too classic, too exactly cruelly memorable, and I did what I could. Limbo. We meet again in some neutral space. Your sad ears and yawning breastbone are aching angles. Slick torso twists from my hellos even as I press, your eyelids branded by a clamping collarbone. 4 years since I've seen you, since I gripped your hair, calcium strands that beat your shoulders. I'm sure I wouldn't fathom your new heart, all purple, plump, and smooth, the bite marks on your armpits. Of course, you say, salt water still pooling in your knuckles and seaweed slipped around your neck. On top of my mountain, I am queen and I am queen. Inside restraint is a portrait of my new loves. I love the wind. I'll float on beds of straw and squirm with the insects in the pale air between. Funeral. After the shouting, I will crouch on my haunches to lift the leaves. I picked each one and sing for you inside this bower. My heels crushing protein chambers, I inhale your senses, the indigo dusk. Prostrate now, my hands hanging above me, I run my middle finger on the red chalk of your bike chain and kiss the mirror lenses of your glasses. Your possessions live inside me now, inside my fingers, knees, and belly, your heart, a hanging eggshell. Tongue stuck to my mouth's raw ceiling, I too am learning. When I loved you, your death hardened the soil and pulled fires through the fields. Thank you.